Welcome to Rob and Tony's Cinematic Adventure. I'm Rob Wilson.
And I am Tony the Quano.
So, Tony, why don't you tell these fine folks what movie we're doing today?
Today, we are traveling back to 1990, back to a day when you might find a good B-monster movie in your local cinema. And we're going to travel to Nevada as well, to perfection, as we discuss Tremors. Sorry, Kevin Bacon, Fred Ward, Michael Gross, Raymond McIntyre. A movie I absolutely love, and I am very excited that we're doing this because it's perfect for our format, I think.
Yes. Yes, it is. I love this movie, too. And you and I have had several late nights staying up watching this movie and just laughing our asses off.
When we were in the apartment out in Leesburg and at Walmart one night and found the Tremors Attack Pack.
Yep. I still have that. I still have it. In fact, that's what I watched it on.
That's how I watched it, too.
Because, surprisingly, it's hard to find streaming.
Yes.
It used to be on Netflix, and then they took it off of there. And then I think it was on Hulu or something at one point. But it's not on any of like, the major streaming services anymore.
I believe there's been some tension between the original producers. It was, Brett Madden and S.S. Wilson were the two guys that wrote it, right? And Ron Underwood directed it. It was a Universal movie, right? Which is kind of perfect because Universal is kind of famous.
Yeah, for the monsters. Yeah.
Right? And then they took over the rights because the Attack Pack had the first four movies,
yes.
Right?
That was back when there were only four movies.
Yes. And then, that's about the time they released that is when they released the TV series.
Mm-hmm. Yep, which also starred Michael Gross.
Yes. So all these were with that original production team, right? And then you had a hiatus, almost a decade. And then they started making other directed video movies without this original team. So I don't know exactly where the rights kind of go or who's holding some of that. So I was doing a deep dive. I knew it had developed kind of a following once it kind of hit television and VHS, right? Because we're discussing this before we start recording, right? The cover of it is a lot like Jaws, right? Giant graboid, right? And these tiny people. And you could see it being a movie that might not work in theaters because is this just kind of a cliched Jaws ripoff? And Kevin Bacon wasn't huge at that time. Raymond McIntyre is popular as a country singer, but not really as an actress.
Yeah, I mean, she'd been in a handful of movies at that time, right around then.
He was popular for being on Family Ties.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think of him necessarily. Yeah.
Completely different role. Completely different role on Family Ties than when he was playing Bert.
That's kind of funny. It became his second life is being Bert in these movies. Yeah, but it was, it took off on home video sales. Which is, obviously where we first encountered was, probably on TV. I remember my uncle and my dad watching it. My uncle, I had seen it first, I think. And then he showed it to my dad. And then the next day he was on TV again. You got to watch this. Yeah. So.
Oh, and then also Tremors also has a young Ariana Richards, who a few years after this went on to be in Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park, which I think, I don't know which one I watched first, but yeah, it's a movie I realized, it's just, slightly younger, Richards. Yeah. So, and then she didn't really do much after Jurassic Park.
No, she didn't.
A lot of child actors, they go on and some of them become normal people that do normal things. So.
Yep.
Who's that? Finn Carter. That's the other person I was thinking of. He was the other lead actress in there. I don't know much else about Finn Carter.
I don't either. Just know her from this.
The other person.
She does not look like the same person now.
No.
If you see pictures of her now.
Let me see. I don't see that. Wikipedia isn't a picture of her. But.
IMDb does.
Victor Wong is the other person.
Yes, Victor Wong.
Which, if you are of a certain age that would have grown up in the 90s.
And you know him as the grandpa in Three Ninjas.
Three Ninjas.
Which we need to do that movie someday, by the way. We absolutely need to do Three Ninjas.
I've actually watched that within the last year. I showed Charles that. He's got to watch Three Ninjas. Nice. And it's still glorious.
Yes, it is. I love that movie. It's been years since I've seen it. Oh, I watched it so much growing up. But yeah, so we definitely need to do that one of these days.
He meets a much harsher end in this.
But yes. Yes, he does.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
But I don't think I realized, I knew there was a following, but like this definitely become like a devoted kind of cult following.
Yeah.
The Tremor series, especially those first four.
Yeah.
I think people, you know, the more recent ones, people brush those aside. I have very strong opinions on that.
Yeah, but the first four are classics.
I found a podcast, Talking Tremors.
Nice.
He does a really good job with it. At Levi Dylan Bartlop or something like that. I can send you the link and people can take a look at his stuff because it's very good. Levi does a good job. I saw an episode with him on with this guy, John Melville, who wrote a book on Old Tremors saga. He's nice. Knows all these in and outs. It's interesting. Like it becomes a big deal to get interviews with certain actors and people that worked on it. And I know I sent you that the Tremors, the Lost Tapes.
Yeah. I didn't get a chance to watch that yet.
Yes.
But
you sure? Yeah. Well, what's something like this? There's a particularly good one where it's the scene in the rec room in the filming. It's behind the scenes of the rec room.
Filming. Okay. Nice.
It's really good. Nice.
All right.
And, well, you know, for anyone that's actually interested in kind of like how movies are made too, it's kind of good because it really shows like kind of truly behind the scenes of how they get different angles and do different things. And you look at the set like, oh, wow, that looks so much different.
Yeah.
you appreciate the craft a lot more.
So yeah. Before we go any farther, as always, spoiler alert, we're going to be talking about the entire movie, beginning, middle, and end. Yeah. So if you don't want to be spoiled, pause the podcast now, watch the movie, then come back and listen. If you don't mind spoilers, keep on listening. Sure. But we are going to be spoiling every bit of this movie. So you have been warned.
And, you know, it's some of you may not have actually seen this one. So,
yeah. And if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend watching it because it is a fantastic movie. And like we said, it's a B monster movie through and through. So,
right. So I have a bone to pick with something, right?
What's
so
that?
When I was looking for things on this, I put in like Tremors podcast. And one of the, you know, there's a podcast that came up. I don't really want to like throw them on the bus. I just don't like, I don't like the characterization. It's a movie about, like, the podcast is called, like, about how good bad movies are, right? But I don't think this is really a bad movie.
Yeah, I don't think
it's
so either.
So bad it's good.
Yeah, it's definitely not the so bad it's good territory.
No. And I go along with what the guys are saying on
maybe some of the later sequels.
Yes.
But
particularly, like, 3 and 4, I could see that. But I'm going to go along with what the guys on the Talk of Tremors podcast were saying. One episode I was listening to was, like, I think it's pretty close to a perfect movie. Doesn't mean it's a masterpiece. I think I like to separate that out.
So yeah, I mean, there's a difference between a perfect movie and, you know, a fantastic movie to, you know, that everybody loves that is an award winner or stuff like that.
Not something that plunges great depths or great thematic issues.
Yeah,
but it's structured really, really well.
Yeah,
and it captures you and draws you in, and it just unfolds pretty much perfectly.
Kind of like how Back to the Future oftentimes is seen as a perfect movie.
Yeah.
It has its flaws, but that doesn't mean that it's still not a perfectly made movie.
And, you know, getting back to being like a B movie, it's a B movie that understands it's a B movie, but it doesn't lean so hard into it, it becomes like schlocky.
Yeah. It's not like Hard Ticket to Hawaii, which, again, we need to do that one.
It still maintains kind of the tension that's needed.
Yes.
And the characters are really well put together, I guess you could say, and it's acted well. The chemistry between all the actors is just really, really good.
Yeah,
they give you just enough to know about most of them, and makes you invested all in it.
Right?
Yeah. And it just kind of, you know, they ratchet the tension up just enough, and then it doesn't overstay its welcome.
Plus, like, it was Kevin Bacon in his heyday.
Oh my! What a hair doing this?
I know, right?
That is some fabulous lettuce. Oh, and, you know, we didn't dive much into Fred Ward yet, but he's great in it too.
Yes,
maybe
he
rest
is.
In peace.
Yes.
Such an underrated actor.
Yes, very much so. I've always loved everything I've seen Fred Ward in.
By the way, thinking about Kevin Bacon, I think it's our first Kevin Bacon movie that we've done.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, it's funny, you know, because, you know, it's obviously the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yep.
And for some reason, I was trying to think, like, you know, I was thinking about Oppenheimer. Like, how can I get Kevin Bacon to Oppenheimer somehow, right? I'm like, okay, well, Kevin Bacon was with Brad Pitt in Sleepers.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Pitt was with Bruce Willis in 12 Monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Willis started with Emily Blunt in Looper.
And then Emily Blunt was Oppenheimer. Yeah. There you go.
So. So, movie just starts out, you know, what? It's Kevin Bacon and Fred Ward first, right? They're just...
Yeah, they're...
Two handymen.
Yeah.
They work together.
Yep, and their pickup truck driving around Perfection.
Perfection, Nevada, yep. Val and Earl.
Yep, Valentine McKee and Earl Bassett.
You know, I often wonder, like, how much handiwork do they have in that really small town?
Well, I mean, they do a little bit of everything, because they had... You know, septic work. They had
that's true.
Building yes. decks and stuff. They had
they were
doing a little bit of everything. Yep. So they were sort of just like general maintenance men for the town.
Because I mean, it sounds like you know the next town is like good what 30 miles away, right?
Something like that.
So you know, maybe they're
isolated because Perfection is like right in the middle of a valley surrounded by mountains.
Yes. And what I like about you know, obviously, you need to watch the next movies. That they do develop a lore around.
Yeah.
All of this. But yeah. So, you know, we're introduced to them. And it's kind of funny. Like, you know, one, you know, Kevin Bacon, he's a little bit younger. And then Fred Ward, you know, as Earl, is a little older. And now, but they work well together. They play rock, paper, scissors, they determine he's going to do certain tasks sometimes, right? But they want to get kind of to the larger town, like, right? You get more work.
Yeah. So Val and Earl are in the truck running around at different jobs. And they see someone off in the distance, and Val remembers that the new
geology student is
going to be there.
They're out in the like Sierra Mountains of Nevada. They're just really studying like not so much the rocks of the mountains, but the seismology.
Yeah,
the faults.
So, and Val remembers that this new geology student is supposed to be a woman. The one that was there before was a guy. And so he gets all excited. So they go over to greet this woman.
What was his checklist?
So Val is going over his checklist. He's like, you will have long blonde hair. You will have large, voluptuous breasts or something like that. You will have legs that go all the way up. And they get to her, and she's a little skinny brunette girl.
Got a hat on.
Got sunscreen on her nose. Nothing at all like what Val had hoped for.
All right.
But what I love. Oh, what's up?
I have the list.
Okay.
You will have long blonde hair, big green eyes, world class breast, ass that won't quit. And legs that go all the way up.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah.
I love after they meet her, like introduce themselves and all that, they're driving back into Perfection and Earl's sort of teasing Val. And Val's like, well, I'm a victim of circumstance. And Earl's like, I thought you call it your pecker. But
it goes to show like the relationship they have.
You could tell they've known each other for years and they're good buddies and they've got a relationship that goes back possibly decades.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe Earl was almost like a father.
Yeah, like a surrogate father to him or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, so one other thing where so after that they pass by when they're going into town, pass by the Welcome to Perfection sign.
Yeah.
The population of Perfection is 14.
Yep.
So not many people in this town.
It's like most, as we'll discover soon, most seem just to live kind of on that one street. There's a farmer that lives a little bit off.
Yep.
And then there's, don't really know, we see the doctor and his wife building a new house. We don't know where they exactly live. And then, yeah, and we see Michael Gross and Ray Romano live a little bit further off the grid.
Yep.
Not that
with their amazing basement.
Much on the grid to begin with.
their amazing basement and their warehouse looking house.
Their rec room. It's a rec room.
Yes, it is their rec room.
Doesn't seem like it's too sort of like the basement, but you know, we'll get there. Yeah. But yeah, so we get in there, we see, you know, it's a small town, we can see it, and driving by a collection of houses, a couple trailers, and then there's a general store. So yeah, we see the street, like a collection of houses, some trailers, right? And then we see general store, Walter Chang's general store, right? Which is also the town post office and basically the local eating spot, right? Yeah. You know, it's got sodas there. If we want a beer, you have a beer, but they all know each other and they all kind of just hang out together before going off to their own homes to go to bed or whatever it is for the day, right? Bert's in there with Heather and Victor ordered the wrong ammo, I guess.
Yep. Yes, Bert wanted Hydroshock hollow points and he just got him regular hollow points.
This is before Amazon.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. A little more difficult ordering things back at that time. I guess Miguel's probably in there at that point, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I think he was. Who's the other boy? Melvin.
Yes, so Melvin.
He's got his basketball.
Yep. The annoying little kid.
I don't know anything. Does he live by himself?
I don't know.
He's like 16 years old.
Yeah. Like, yeah, who are his parents? Live in this town. There are 14 people that live in this town, and we see most of them in the movie.
Yes.
So maybe his parents are just, you know, at home the whole time?
Nestor lives in the trailer.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe they're home. Maybe they're all working somewhere.
Because they were working on the doctor's place. Is that where Melvin first came into the picture?
Right. So that's right. They're cleaning out the septic tank.
Yeah.
And then they get sprayed with a poo.
Yes.
Because they go into the general store and they talk about the new student.
Yeah. Right?
And we see Bert and Heather there. And then at that point, after they get sprayed with the poo, that's when they determine, like, we're going to leave, right?
Yeah.
And start packing everything up in their trailer. And before they leave is when Nancy is there, who's Mindy, who mentioned Irina Richards. It's her mother, right? And she's like a daughter. She likes to do like iron work and stuff like that, offering them a job.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, pay them and I'll feed you, right? And they turn it down. No, she not feed them. I'll give you beer.
Yes. Yes. I'll give you beer. Because, Melvin's not Mindy's brother, is he?
No.
No. Is, yeah, then who was Melvin's parents?
I've always wanted to know who were Melvin's parents.
Huh.
Like, do they work in Area 51 and they're just away for the week?
Because, I mean, the doctor and his wife aren't Melvin's parents.
No. Melvin's last name is Plug.
Yeah.
The doctor's last name is Wallace.
Yeah. Maybe Melvin's parents are just at home for the whole thing, the whole movie. And
just very, very quiet.
Yeah.
they don't move.
Because, I mean, if Melvin's parents were any of the people that got eaten by the graboids, then, you know, he would have shown some sort of emotion.
Yeah. He's kind of an airhead, but, you know, I think, you know, we see him get scared.
Yeah.
Multiple times when it comes down.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they offer that job and they leave. They're excited, right? And, you know, they're going down the highway, you know, and they've got big power lines going there and they see a guy stuck up to the top. They don't realize who it is yet.
Yep.
They pull the truck over, which, you know, they're going to kind of wish they had to pull the truck over. Yeah.
They see him up there. They start yelling to him to try to get his attention. He's not moving.
And they realize it's Edgar, right? And he's kind of he's an older dude and kind of like the town drunk, I guess. He's always a town drunk.
Uh-huh.
And then they see that he's not coming down, so one of them has to climb up.
So they do the rock, paper, scissors, and Val loses, so he has to climb up.
And then he realizes that he's dead. Mm-hmm. So I guess, you know, he's up there, he's got his like shotgun with him.
No, he's got his Winchester rifle.
Ah, yes. And he's got he just has the rifle.
Yeah, he just has the rifle with him.
So I guess, like, they had to push him down.
Yeah, they don't actually show how they got him down, but the next shot, he's in the bed of the truck.
It would be kind of hard to carry down a dead body climbing down.
Yes, it would.
Power line pylon.
Yes, it would be. And I mean, he's dead, so it's not going to hurt him if they push him. But
so they take him to the doctor, and the doctor and his wife are building a new home, and basically said that he basically just died of thirst up there.
Yeah, he dehydrated because he was up there for days, apparently.
Yeah, obviously it takes longer to go along without food, without water, especially in Nevada sun. It's not going to take you that long.
Yeah, so they think it's odd that he climbed up there and sat there for 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that night...
Well, before that night, we first also see the...
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So we also see the...
Fred the farmer.
Yeah, Fred the farmer. Shepherd. Yeah, he's out there
sheep
with...
in Nevada.
Yeah.
Who has sheep in Nevada? Yes.
I guess they need wool in Nevada still, but who has sheep in the middle of the desert?
Chilly desert nights, but...
Who has sheep in the middle of the desert? I mean, what are they going to
anyway,
eat?
he's tilling his land.
Mm-hmm.
The sheep start going crazy.
And then he gets pulled underground by something.
Yep.
It's like he just stepped in a manhole and just fell through. But, yeah, then...
So they're driving back to town after they talk to the doctor, and mm-hmm. they see the blood all over the pen of the sheep. They're looking around. They're looking for old Fred.
They find his hat. They pick up the hat, and there's his face right under the hat staring up at him.
Which I always find is weird, too, because he's like the one person that doesn't mm-hmm. get swallowed at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
His head.
So then they figure there's a killer on the loose. Somebody going around, murdering people in Perfection. And so they're driving down the road. They see a couple of road workers. And so they try to get their attention. They got a jackhammer out there and they're tearing up the road. So they try to get their attention, tell them that, there's a killer on the loose. They need to get to safety.
They think they're just kind of messing. Well, one guy just thinks.
Yeah.
They're kind of messing.
One guy believes them. The other one thinks that they're just messing with them. So Earl tries to get the truck turned around and gets snagged on something. And so they're able to goose the gas enough to be able to break loose of whatever they're hooked on. And they head back to town. Meanwhile, the two road workers, sitting there using the jackhammer, all of a sudden he hits something and blood starts flying up from a hole in the ground.
He gets the...
And then the jackhammer starts moving.
Which is attached to the generator, wraps mm-hmm. around his leg, and then he gets pulled by it.
Yep. Because the jackhammer starts moving around, and he gets dragged by by the cord.
Gets sucked up into the top of the hill. The other guy goes to try to help him, but there's a rock slide, and all the mm-hmm. rocks crush him.
Yeah.
Which now block the road out of town.
Yes.
And so after Val and Earl try to get away, like you were saying, they get kind of stuck up close to the rocks. And what they all know is that one of the little tentacles is grabbed onto it.
Which we find out in a bit that it's one of the tongues of what they dub graboids. But so they get back to the general store, which is run by Walter Chang, played by Victor Wong. And they're telling everybody, there's a killer out there and, they need to get somewhere safe. And then...
They discover basically the tongue.
Yeah, they discover that there's something wrapped around the axle of the truck. And they pull it off of there. And it's this worm-looking thing. This big, huge, snake thing with a mouth and everything. And so Chang offers to buy it off of them for $15. So they sell it to him for $15.
Well, they negotiate first.
Yes, they negotiate. I think he was asking 10 first. They wanted 20. They met in the middle of 15 or something like that. But
and then he starts selling pictures of it.
Yep.
Get your picture with it. $3 a picture.
Had it set up with a chair, and you could drape it over your shoulder. So Melvin's there, got it around his neck like a scarf.
Anyway, they realize they need to get help because the rock slide had caused the phone lines to go down. So, and this is pre-cell phone days.
Yeah, so the only communication they really have is CB communication.
And it's limited there, obviously, because they're surrounded by mountains.
Yeah.
And they're far away. So they need to take the horses that Walter has. He's a couple of horses to return to town, to the next Bixby, is the closest kind of larger town.
Yeah. So they're riding down.
But what they don't know is the night before, when the doctor and his wife were going to bed after a long day.
Yep.
They're enjoying the night sky being over their heads.
Yes.
When the generator stops.
Yep, so the doctor goes over to check the generator, and the generator's gone.
And he says it smells.
Yeah, and it smells terrible. Generator's gone. And then all of a sudden, the generator comes flying up from underground. Just shooting up into the air, and lands not too far away.
Yep. His wife's telling him, we should leave. But he's like, he's a doctor. He's a curious guy. Mm-hmm. Trying to figure out what's going on.
So he goes over to the hole that the generator got shot out of, and he's looking around, and all of a sudden gets grabbed by something. And... Mm-hmm. Starts getting pulled underground, and so his wife freaks out. She jumps in their station wagon, trying to drive away, but something grabs the station wagon.
Yep, and you start seeing the little snake-like arms hitting the windows, and she's stuck in. She locks the car.
And the whole thing
gets hits all the radio, and it's Reba McEntire.
Yeah. It's a Reba song.
And she thinks she's safe. But, like, they know that she's in that thing, you know, like, you can, and it pulls the station wagon
underground
down. And
to where it's just under the surface of the ground.
And you see the headlights until there's no headlights.
You see the headlights slowly getting covered by dirt. And so, anyway, when Earl and Val are riding horses,
help the next day, they discover the buried station wagon.
Yeah.
And they can't find them. And they just think, you know, at first they can't find them, they think that's weird.
Yeah, then they find and the station wagon underground.
They hear music because the radio is still going on. And they realize something's really wrong if they can bury an entire freaking station wagon.
Yeah. Yeah. And was that, did they find the doctor and his wife before or after they found the hard hats that were left over by the road workers?
This was after, I believe. Yeah.
That's right. So yeah, they found the road work, the what was left of the road workers.
Like there's another scene where that it's just only shown to us, where there is like a phone line that also gets like eaten.
Yeah.
That I guess went to check on the phone lines.
Yeah.
But you don't even see me eating. You see the aftermath. It's kind of like Samuel Jackson and Jurassic. Well, I guess you do. They do realize he got eaten. This is the arm drops down onto.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But that's a different movie. But we'll do that movie. But that's definitely not a B movie.
Definitely not a B movie. We've mentioned it two times now. You know, Rena Richards, right now.
Yeah.
There's no Jeff Goldblum in this.
No. No, there's not.
Laying out, doing his best
for with his shirt open. Life.
It's funny about that scene. It's funny about that scene too, because like it's become a famous, you know, kind of infamous. I kind of like, you know, I remember it, and I wouldn't have thought of it as being this like scene that got popularized. But I guess enough ladies like his oily nipples.
Yes, yes. <guess. laughs> But yeah, so they head back
hard out now, and yeah, they're heading back right because of that, and then their horses get scared.
Yeah, their horses get scared and
they get bucked off. And one of the horses then gets pulled down by the worms and then
And then they find Rhonda, the geology student.
That's not yet. They have to escape first.
Yes, true.
Right? Because they're running off.
Yes, 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 right? Yes. So someone's chasing them from underground and they're trying to get out of the way.
Each one of them, this is when we finally see the full monster. It emerges out, right?
Yeah.
And it goes back in. And they start running.
And that's when they find out that, they're not little worm-looking things. They're not like snake monster. Well, they are kind of big, giant snake monster type things. But what they found on their truck is not the full creature.
No, just one part of it.
So
they're running off.
Yeah, they're running, trying to outrun this thing. It's chasing them from underground. We know that because the camera sits at ground level and just like runs up to them.
They're fleeing. They see like this an aqueduct. They think they can make the jump, and they can't quite make it. It's a little bit too
almost make too it across.
And they're standing against the one side. They're getting scared.
And then this thing slams into the concrete across from them. And then they just see these blood coming out of the cracks that were made in there.
And Earl's like, I think we knocked it out. Called my ass. We killed it. It's dead.
And then we get that fantastic line from Kevin Bacon. Go ahead, Tony.
Fuck you. And that's when Rhonda shows up.
Yes, that's when Rhonda shows up. Like, from the side, discovered... from the side that they were trying to jump to.
Yes. She's like, I just had a
spike major in my readings.
And then she sees it. She's like, what's that? And, looking at it, they've got down the broken pieces of concrete.
Yeah, they get a better look at it. Then these snake-looking tongues pop out. Just like sort of flop out of its mouth. And that's
like an orange.
Yeah.
It's like an orange blood. And Val's looking at the back of it. He's like, I found the acid!
Oh, yeah. But yeah, so that's when we find out that the thing that was wrapped around the axle of the truck is one of these things' tongues. They have three tongues. And each tongue has its own mouth.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like tentacle tongue things. So one of them's dead, but there's still three more.
Right. Because when they go back to Rhonda's truck, they certainly go back towards Rhonda's truck, right? And she's looking at her readings and she's pinpointing where she's seeing them all over the valley. And then mm-hmm. she's able to say, no, there's three more of these things. This is not the only one.
Yeah. So then another one starts coming after them. And they end up taking shelter on a residual boulder that was nearby.
Yeah.
And they realize that it knows they're there because the boulders are giant conductors for their movements, but it can't get to them because it can't break through that rock.
Yeah. They tested several times to see if it's left, but they've been talking and moving around a little bit. And then they basically,
they're stuck on this rock for hours.
And they go to sleep and wake up the next day and they test again to see if it's left.
And it hasn't.
They're not that surprised considering that someone else climbed up power line and just stayed there and nearly died.
Yep. And so they find a bunch of long poles leaning up against the side of the boulder.
Yeah.
And they decided the best way to get away from these things is to pole vault across between boulders and just follow the boulders back to town.
Good thing they're all good pole vaulters.
Yeah. Well, Earl had some trouble on his first try.
But Competent pole vaulters.
But, yeah.
They only win the gold medal.
So they make it back to town. They go to the general store, tell them what they found.
I like how they get in the back of the truck and just climb through the back window. Yes.
And she's using her hands to work the pedals so that they can drive away. Her truck was parked right next to one of those residual boulders.
Yes.
And yes, I'm calling them residual boulders because that's the only way that they refer to them in the movie. Residual boulders.
In the movie is residual boulder.
Yeah, we just need a pole vault across these residual boulders.
That was her word, residual boulders. She's a student. I'm going to take her word for it. She seems like a straight A student. So.
Oh, and one thing real quick, back to the station wagon. Mm-hmm. Did you notice on the rearview mirror, it had like a fuzzy cover around the rearview mirror that covered up the entire mirror except a tiny little sliver right in the middle. How are you supposed to see anything in that mirror?
Hey, this doctor is, he might seem nice. He seems kind of nice. But maybe he's actually an arrogant bastard.
And also Nestor was the farmer, right? So
yes,
Nestor was the farmer. It wasn't old Fred. It was Nestor, the guy with the sheep. But I also noticed when he got pulled underground, he was still screaming. How was he screaming if he was underground? Then also another little tiny detail that I noticed in the movie was just that doesn't really do much except just go along with Val's name. So Kevin Bacon's character's name is Valentine. Do you see his belt buckle that he wears throughout the whole movie? He wears a heart-shaped belt buckle.
That's the thing. Like, there's little aspects to the movie. Like just the design of the general store, design of some of the houses on the street, the design of the rec room.
Yep.
The vehicles they drive, a lot of really good stuff. So they get back to town and they're in Walter's general store and they're not up on the roof yet, right? Yeah.
No, they're not on the roof yet. They're in the general store because then they're talking about trying to tell them what they saw, all this, what these things look like, and Walter decides that they need to name.
That's right.
So he dubs them graboids because they grab people and drag them
That
underground.
becomes the name as a graboid.
Yeah. And then shortly after he names it, one breaks it up from under the
Right,
floorboards
that's what I thought. Yes.
and eats Walter.
Yeah, because I mean, it. You know, they're talking, but then they ha he has like a cooler, like an ice cream
Yeah.
cooler there, right?
And it
And
turns
seeing the
on and
generator on that turning on and shaking, so.
yeah, so the noise from that, Val jumps on top of it so they can unplug it, and they get it unplugged, but it's too late. A graboid busted up through the floor and grabbed Walter. And so they're all trying to fight it off and get him out of
It's kind
there.
of a gruesome
It
death.
is. It is.
He's the
Yes.
most gruesome. You see
It
him
was
like convulsing.
somewhat reminiscent, but more graphic of Deep Blue Sea.
Yes. Like first you like grab him. He's got like blood coming out of his nose, and then you see the full shot. And yeah, he's just like kind of convulsing, and they're trying to pull him, and no
Yeah.
one
But his
doesn't
legs
react.
are like all the way down this thing's throat, pulls him underground, and then there's no more Walter. So then they kind of start calling him Graboids in his honor.
And so, they have to get,
So
what?
they all climb on top of the shelves and everything, trying to get off the
Yeah.
floor.
And then
Meanwhile, this
they
thing is
try to
trying
stop,
to.
but they eventually start hearing the pogo stick
Yes.
of Mindy.
Yes, Mindy is outside on a pogo stick because she was on a pogo stick earlier. And when Earl and Val were
Yes.
driving by, and Earl
She
asked her
has a
what
record.
count she was on. And so she told her what number bounce she was on her pogo stick.
She's just happily being a kid out there on a pogo stick
Yeah.
while Graboid is doing Graboid things.
Yeah. And so they see her out there on her pogo stick with this graboid around. And so they're worried about her because they were able to get, let's see, because they climbed on top of the shelves and they were trying to make it to the roof access hatch.
Yep.
And meanwhile, the
Because.
graboid is knocking things over. Wait, no, they weren't there yet. Because they went out of the store to go and try to
Yes.
get Mindy.
Right.
And that's when, yeah, so they
Well,
get. They barely, so it was Val that goes and gets Mindy off the pogo stick just in time. And the graboid then grabs the pogo stick.
yes.
And then it's coming
Chases him
after,
back into the
chases him
store.
back. And Rhonda,
Because Rhonda gets
yeah, Ronnie
like.
gets her foot stuck, her pant leg stuck in some barbed wire, gets it wrapped around her legs. And so, was this before? Yeah, this was before Walter.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember
Yeah.
the part of it, because there's also the scene where.
Because she's stuck in the because this is one part I do remember, because we never mentioned the first time that we
Right,
saw
because
this,
they're preparing
but the
the. They're
first time that I ever
preparing
saw this
for.
movie was at this scene. So because my brother
Like,
and his friend were watching it.
she cuts up her knee on it,
Yeah.
and he's like, Val's like cleaning it off.
Yeah, but yeah, because she had in order to get loose of the barbed wire, she had to take her pants off,
Yes.
her shoes and her pants off, so she could slip out of the barbed wire. And because I remember that scene because I was like 8, 9 years old when I saw this movie. My brother and his friend were watching it, and I walked in like right at that scene.
Yeah.
So of course I remember that scene.
Yeah,
8, 9 year old kid, and all of a sudden there's this girl in her underwear on the screen.
and
But
then like Miguel brings her some new jeans, and then Val's
yeah,
cleaning it up, and.
Val's cleaning it up,
The
brings some
thing
new
that
jeans and
happens
shoes.
before
It's just new
this
shoes too.
is that Melvin was outside with the basketball,
Yeah.
and then it eats the basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah, that,
And
okay.
then, yeah, so then, after, yeah, that's all before the whole scene inside the general store with Walter.
They try to quiet it down after that scene because they see Melvin
Yeah.
up there, and they go in and they think they can be quiet. They're trying to be quiet,
Yeah,
right?
and
And
then
then.
the generator for the freezer turns on, and then all the stuff with
That's
Walter happens.
when, yeah, that's when, and then
Yeah.
they
Then they're climbing across the top of the shelves trying to get to the roof access hatch, and then the graboid's knocking the shelves over, and
yeah,
they make it up to the roof,
and it's
and
the roof.
then
It's Val, Earl, Miguel that get up on the roof,
And Rhonda. Rhonda's out. Yeah, Rhonda's still outside.
She's adjacent. She's outside. She goes to the top of the water tower.
Yeah, she goes to the water tower, which is right next to the general store. And then the other side of the general store, there's a little outbuilding. And that's where Melvin is.
Yes.
So they tell Melvin to climb up onto the roof of the outbuilding.
And Nelson's on top of his trailer. And then you have Mindy and Nancy on top of their house.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, back at the compound... Bert and Heather, you know.
At the Gummer household.
Heather, you know, she's got the binoculars. She's looking down in the town, and she sees everybody on the roof, you know. Yeah. And they go in their house, and they're on their walkie-talkie, and they're talking down. Because, again, like we were saying, like, they still have, you can see me still.
Bert and Heather are, to call them preppers would be an understatement. They've got a rec room. They've turned their basement into a rec room. Where they've got cinder block walls. The little tiny windows that are at ground level that are like up high, though they're clearly underground. They've got a wall of guns.
Let's put it this way. When they discovered the graboid wrapped around the truck, they were concerned about the government coming in because of
yeah.
species and taking their land.
Yeah.
Eminent domain.
Yeah. So... You know, if anybody's prepared for these things, it's the Gummers.
It's the Gummers. But, you know, they see they're up on the rooftop, so they realize something's gone
Everybody on the roof had managed to take the CB up there with them. So they're able to communicate with Bert and Heather.
They had to reach down.
Yes, that's right. They had to reach down to get it out the window from the roof. So they got that up there, and they're able to communicate with Bert and Heather and let them know what's going on and warn them that there's some coming their way.
Yes.
Because there's the one that's by the general store, and then there's two more of them that are headed toward Bert and Heather's house. And so Bert, he thinks they're safe in their rec room because they got concrete walls, they got, you know, cinder block walls, they're underground, all this. All of a sudden, a graboid busts through their wall.
You just hear him say, "Oh, good God."
And then you just hear a bunch of gunfire coming from the Gummer house.
In the distance.
And then we see Bert and Heather sitting there with their rifles, shooting at it, not hurting it. They run out of ammo on one gun. They toss it aside, grab another one off the wall, start shooting at it. And they're just going through guns until finally
Heather shoots a flare gun at it.
Yes, Heather shoots a flare gun at it. Because that's what was within reach.
Use the case of emergency, the elephant gun.
Yes. So they have a glass case that has an elephant gun in it. And so Bert grabs the elephant gun, shoots it a couple of times with that, and kills it. Oh, and then, you know, they call everybody who's on the roof and, you know, let them know that they killed it, but there's another one outside. So they throw together a bunch of supplies real quick, and they head up to their roof.
Yep.
And they see it just under the surface of the ground. They see it moving some of their paving stones and stuff. And so Bert tries to shoot it with the elephant gun, but he can't get through the ground.
Yep.
He doesn't have the penetration to be able to hit it when it's underground. So the elephant gun's no use at this point.
I love in Tremors too. He's back in the rec room.
Yes. He's just kind of hanging on the wall. I love that.
I've seen the face of that taxidermist.
Yes. He probably did it himself. I would not be at all surprised if Bert dabbled in taxidermy.
Like, do that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They're up on the roof now. They're kind of stuck there trying to formulate a plan. Meanwhile, the graboid that's back in town testing out the foundations.
Yeah.
And they realize, like, eventually it's going to bring these buildings down. So they got to do something.
Yeah, they got to do something. They're trying to figure out a way to get out of there. And they remember there's a cat bulldozer, caterpillar bulldozer, that's not too far away.
Yes.
But the thing is slow.
Even before that, it finally knocks the trailer that Nestor's up on top of.
Yeah. You mean Miguel? That Miguel's on?
He decides the safest place is on a tire.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, yeah, that's right. Yeah, Nestor's on the. All right, yeah. Wait, but no, it wasn't Nestor. Was that
Not Nestor.
was that
Who's
old Fred,
Nestor?
or was that? Or they were maybe that was Edgar. Yeah, I think old Fred.
Edgar is up on the power lines.
Okay.
Yes, old Fred was the farmer. Nestor was the guy. He had the John Deere hat on. He's
Okay.
like the least developed of the people in the town.
Okay.
Like, you have no problem with him dying when he gets eaten.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, anyway, he just yeah, he decides the safest place is on top of a tire that's just laying on its side on the ground. So he's sort of sitting on the tire like he would an inner tube.
It just comes
He's
up
floating on the water, comes up, grabs his ass, and pulls him underneath.
Apparently, that was too much for Melvin.
Yeah.
Watching that. But, by the
Yeah.
way, I almost forgot this. I saw this note. The actor who played Melvin became a professional blackjack player.
No. Okay.
So that's when they said, yeah, they got the cat, right?
Yeah,
And
and
they
then
now
they're
have
like,
a
well,
track.
that won't carry everybody. So, like, well, what about the old semi-trailer? And, so Val points out that the tires are shot on it. The tires are flat. They're not, it's not gonna go anywhere. But then
But if you have the cat, you
Earl's
can
like, the
pull
cat's gonna pull anything. So hook it up to the cat, we can pull it. So then they're trying to figure out who's gonna go for the cat. And once again, they do their rock, paper, scissors. Val loses, so he's gotta go for the cat.
it.
But they still have a graboid that's slithering around under their feet.
Val won, which meant he was going to stay, but he
Yeah,
wanted
that's
to
right.
actually do it. He
Yeah.
kind of elbows
Yes, he
Earl
wanted to do
over.
it, and then Earl wouldn't let him because Earl lost, so it was Earl's turn to do it. And so Miguel gets the bright idea to send the lawnmower out
Yes.
so
And
that the
send it off
graboid
somewhere
will
else to
follow it.
chase
And then when the graboid's away, they can run to the cat and get it started up and pull the trailer over. So they do that. The mower starts going. Graboid starts following it. So at that point, Earl goes to jump off the roof and run toward the cat, and Val elbows him, and then he does it.
He runs, he almost gets there, but then the mower
The mower hit a bump and it fell
bumped in
over.
and fell over.
And so then the graboid starts feeling Val's footprint,
The
footsteps, and so turns around and chases Val.
they need to make some
So
noise.
they tell Val, so Ronnie yells out to Val, tells him to stop and don't move. So Val just freezes, and the graboid comes down right by his feet. You see its tongue stick up and start, feeling around. Says he's not moving, it can't feel him. And so his tongues are coming around toward his legs every time the dude picks his foot up, puts it over the tongue.
And he puts it down just ever so slightly. It's still enough vibration. It's like, ah. And so they realize they gotta make a distraction again. So they start making noise.
But it's not working.
And
And then,
Rhonda remembers that we said she's on top of like a little water tower.
yeah, she's on top of the
Yeah, the
water
pipe
tower.
leading up to
So
it.
she
She
climbs
decides
down
to
the ladder a little
kick that
bit,
loose.
kicks the pipe loose. It starts
Now they got a bunch of
dumping
water
water.
gushing down, which is, that's gonna make a lot more noise, a
Yeah.
lot more vibration,
So
right?
it's
So.
hitting the ground, vibrating, and it works. The graboid starts coming after Rhonda. So while it's heading toward the water tower, Val makes it to the cat, hooks up the trailer to it, gets on there, starts it up, and starts pulling it toward the general store. Meanwhile, Rhonda, the wooden ladder that she's on, breaks. So she's kind of dangling while this graboid's trying to eat her. But Val makes it in time. Rhonda gets on the cat with him, and then they go and pick everybody else up.
They get everybody else up. And they go off to the
And then, yeah,
compound.
then they start heading toward the Gummer house.
We see the little snake tongues try to get to the wrap around, but the cat and the semi trailer are just too heavy.
Yeah. And they also notice that the one that's chasing them is the one that lost a tongue on the truck.
Yes.
They call him Stumpy.
Meanwhile, Heather and Bert, they stockpiled what they needed and they made a few proper
Pipe bombs.
pipe bombs. They load it all into the thing and they head off and then
But they realize they stop the cat right at the house and realize that, yeah, it's heavy, so it's going to be hard for the graboids to really get to it. But then the graboids start knocking the ground out from under it.
Yes. I see, they get
So anytime they
further away
stop,
from
then they start getting to the point where they're going to sink into the ground. So they got to be quick. So
Yep.
Bert you know, tosses a bag of stuff into the trailer, and they climb down in there, and he's handing out guns to everybody, and Melvin wants one, but he won't give one to Melvin. So they get out of there, and Bert's lamenting that...
sweet as they're kind of saying goodbye to the little compound, that,
yeah,
which they thought was going to save them from anything.
Bert's lamenting that he got 5 years of food. Yeah, food, enough food to last 5 years. Damn underground monsters.
And the plan is to go further into the mountains where there's more rocks.
Yeah.
You know, really in the mountains. That's the plan. But it'd be harder to get to them. That's what, that's the direction they're heading to. You know, kind of go over the mountain towards the next town because they can't get through the mountains. The rock.
Yeah.
But before they can get over the mountains, the two remaining gravelites dig a trap.
Yes, they dig a trap and the cat goes down into it, into the trench that they had dug, and they can't use the cat anymore. But there is a residual boulder nearby. So they get an idea. They take one of the pipe bombs, and I think it's great. Bert goes to light the fuse, and Earl or Valet asked him, "What's that? What do you use that for? What's that?" He's like, "Cannon fuse. What do you use it for? My cannon." Of course, it's Bert has a cannon.
The cannon's not going to be super useful on the ground.
No.
But a fuse might be.
Yes. So they're using a cannon fuse to light the pipe bombs.
And
so,
this time, they're only using it as a distraction.
Yes. Right? So they light one of them, they toss it over toward the graboid that's coming at them.
And then Melvin didn't want to run off at first.
No, he didn't. So then Bert gives him a gun. And that, you know, then Melvin's balls grow like 20 sizes.
Melvin's balls grew 20 times that day.
They got a big old patch of hair on him now. A thicket. So
patch of hair, a monocle.
Yeah.
Smoke a cigar.
So
drinks bourbon older than he is.
Yep. Which isn't hard because most bourbon's older than he is. But anyway, so they toss the pipe bomb out toward the graboids, and when it explodes, it sends so much of a shock through the ground that it scares them away. It's too loud for them. They head off the other direction. And so that's when everybody gets down and they start running toward the residual boulders. And so Melvin starts, he points his gun over toward the graboids, tries to shoot, but nothing happens because there's no ammo in his gun. So he gives Bert a nasty look, and Bert's like, "You think I'd give you a loaded gun? It got you to move, didn't it?" So they make it to the boulders, and then they're sort of stuck there for hours trying to figure out how to get away from these.
And then they kind of get despondent about, like, "All right, we're just going to be stuck here."
Yeah.
Then they're like, "What do you mean we're stuck here?
Yeah.
I had 5 years of food."
Then they get another idea. They're going to go fishing. Yeah. So they get some rope and they tie one end to one of the pipe bombs. And, you know, when the graboids are getting closer, you know, they light it, and Earl uses his lasso skills to toss the rope out, and, you know, sort of pulling it in to create a little bit of vibration there to get the graboid to try to grab it. And once it does, you know, it swallows the pipe bomb, blows the thing up. So now they're down to one graboid. So they try it again.
It rains down orange graboid.
Yes, it rains down orange graboid all over them. And then they decide that they're going to try it on the other one. The other one,
this one was
Stumpy. Stumpy is the last one left, and he's smart. They toss another one out. He grabs it, and they think they just got him. But then it spits it back out.
I don't know why.
It lands right on their bag full of supplies and, more importantly, pipe bombs. Or
pipe bombs.
They had they had one that was out of there, that was out of the bag.
Well, so, both Val and Earl were each holding one.
Yes, Val and Earl were each holding one. Earl tossed it, so Val's still holding his. But the rest of them blew up when the pipe bomb that Earl had thrown that got spit back out landed right on top of the rest of them.
Right, and Val, Earl, Rhonda, they're off the residual ward.
Yeah, they all had to get off it because the explosion. So yeah. Everybody's off the boulder, and then they all had to get back on it.
Except the three. This three.
Yeah, except they're those all three.
Off. They're the furthest off.
Yeah.
Right.
And Val still got his pipe bomb. So they're
thinking they just want him to throw it. Right.
Yeah, they want him to throw it so that they can get back to the boulder. But Val's got his own plans. So he...
And then they decide, yeah, the others decide to try and make some noise to get a little bit further away from them. To kind of like buy him a little bit of time anyway. But he realizes he's not going to get that. Snuffy's not going to fall for that.
Yeah.
Snuffy's going to stay right there.
Yeah. So he's doing his whole standing real still thing. And then, you know, waiting for the graboid to come at him. And, you know, he breaks the fuse, make it a shorter fuse.
So, you know, yeah.
Yeah, so he only has a couple of seconds instead of like a 10-second fuse. So, you know, the three of them are sort of taking turns getting the graboid's attention, trying to help each other out. And so Val lights his pipe bomb, tosses it toward the graboid, because he knows that right behind him, there's a cliff.
Yes. Well, they start running first, and he has it thrown right away, and he stops.
Yeah, that's right.
Has it, then he has it.
Breaks and the then fuse. He throws it. They're telling him to move. They're telling him to get out of there. But yeah, so he lights it, throws it, and as soon as that shock hits the graboid, it just starts charging at him, trying to get away from that noise.
Yeah.
And so he's just standing there at the edge of this cliff, just waiting. And then finally, right before the graboid gets to him, he dives to the side. The graboid flies out the side of the cliff. It falls down and splats on the rocks on the bottom.
A lot like Last Crusade.
It's a lot like Last Crusade. So that was the last of the graboids in this movie. So they're all, you know, cheering and happy that they killed all of them.
And they get back to town, and you know, Ron is like, "Oh, I need research on this." And he's like, "Oh, goodbye." You know.
Earl is trying to persuade Val to go over and try to start something with Rhonda, but Val's like, she wouldn't like me. But Val does go over and talks to Rhonda, and they end up kissing, and you would imagine that they end up starting a relationship.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the movie. Yeah. The credits roll, Raider McIntyre sings, and...
Yep.
You know, in the second movie, Val and Rhonda are not in it.
No. Pretty much everybody else is, though. And no, Heather's not in it either in the second one.
Yeah, they're divorced. They're separated.
Yes. Sometime between the first and second movies, Bert and Heather got separated.
I do like the second movie quite a bit.
Yes, me too. Me too. Maybe we should do that one sometime, too.
Because it was supposed to be, they were hoping to do a theatrical release, but then Universal thought the box office was not good enough for the first one to do it. But even though it already gained a following on TV, like videotape, the second one, you know, it's slightly direct video-ish, but it's better than most, like, correct.
Yeah. And the third one's fun, too. Third and fourth one are both fun.
You got ass blasters. Come on.
Yeah. The first four movies are a lot of fun.
Lots of fun.
They really are. They're a lot of fun. I have not seen past the fourth movie. I haven't seen the fifth, sixth, or what, seventh?
I saw the one with the ice. I saw Shrieker Island. I did see Shrieker Island.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, I don't know. I don't remember much of them.
Yeah. Because, yeah, each movie, the graboids kind of evolve into their next stage. but yeah, so... Oh, and by the way, it was... Nestor screaming underground was after he got... It wasn't the farm scene before. It was with the tire. So it was after he got pulled underground through the tire. Then that's when he's screaming underground.
He's like the one character in the movie you kind of forget about.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so that's Tremors. I would highly recommend watching it if you haven't seen it. It is. It's
a movie.
It's so much fun.
On TV a lot, but we said earlier it's kind of hard to find streaming. I would try to find it streaming.
Yeah.
Or if you can find a DVD or Blu-ray copy of it, do it that way.
Yeah, it's worth a buy if you're wanting to buy it. It's a movie that you'll enjoy more than just once. It's one of those fun movies to watch, you know, when you're just sitting around later at night.
Saturday afternoon or later at night, Friday night, or something like that.
Maybe you have a beer in your hand or something. And, you know.
And even any college guys out there, you know, just watch it with your buddies on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
It's a beer. I mean, come on.
It is a very fun watch.
It's like I said, you don't see a lot of like kind of good B movies like that these days. But yeah. even a decade later, we mentioned Deep Blue Sea. Deep Blue Sea is kind of a fun movie. It's a B movie.
Yeah.
It's not as good as this.
No, but we will be doing Deep Blue Sea at some point on this podcast.
It's got LL Cool J.
Yes, it does. I mean, come on. It does. Ladies love Cool James.
You ain't my bird.
but yeah, so we will be doing Deep Blue Sea at some point. But yeah, Tremors, and it's not a long movie. It's like 96 minutes or something like that.
What's a perfect movie is that sometimes movies can be too long, especially if it's like monster type movie. Maybe they add too much into it, or it needs a little bit of editing to it. Sometimes it's a little bit too short.
Yeah.
This one's perfect because it sets up the characters well. It's at the town well.
Yeah, it has a story that it wants to tell, and it tells it.
Right? You know, and it bleeds towards the climax really well. You know, like, you get trapped in the town, and then they have to escape the town, and then have the final battle. You know, it builds the tension in the story well enough. And again, you like the characters. Like, the town feels lived in. You know, it's a B-movie, but there's attention to detail that you really want.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend watching it. If you have seen it, I highly recommend watching it again.
It's been probably almost 10 years since I watched it. I was really glad to watch it again because it's kind of funny. Like, you know, I've seen it probably about a dozen times, maybe a little bit more, because like we watched it plenty of times.
Yeah.
You know, for a while there, I was probably watching it at least once or twice a year. Yeah. it was good to watch again. And like it all just kind of comes back. And
yeah.
You just kind of maybe small things and kind of forget about, and you know, you know what's going to happen, but you don't mind that.
Plus,
you're just going to want to spend time with him again.
It's Kevin Bacon and Fred Ward. It's Kevin Bacon and Fred Ward. Was it the only movie the two of them ever made together? They had fantastic chemistry.
Yeah, and then you'll have Kevin Bacon in the next one. Fred Ward's in the next one. Michael Gross is the next one, right? So.
Bobby Jacoby, Melvin, is in the next one.
Yeah. And Miguel comes back for the third one.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's Tremors. So for the next episode, we're headed back to the 70s, 1976 to be exact, for a little bit of unfortunate passing recently of Carl Weathers. We're going
to
do
a movie.
We're going to do a Carl Weathers movie. We're going to do Rocky.
Which feels appropriate because we're also at like an Oscar season and it won Best Picture for the year 1976.
Yeah.
So, and we haven't done a lot of movies in the 70s yet. We were talking about this earlier. Star Wars, but I think it's the only one so far. So,
yeah.
It'd be nice to kind of go back a bit. And that one's not really, like we said, it doesn't take place in the 70s. So I'm looking forward to discussing that and exploring it because that's another one that's been quite a while since I've seen.
Yeah.
I bought the Steelbook for it. Like several years ago and didn't watch it.
Yeah. So join us next time for Rocky. By the way, if you would like to follow us on social media, we are on Facebook and Instagram, Rob and Tony's Cinematic Adventure. The "and" is spelled out. It's not an ampersand like it is on the name of a podcast, but so Rob and Tony's Cinematic Adventure, all spelled out. We are also on Letterboxd and Threads.
And Twitter.
Threads is also Rob and Tony's Cinematic Adventure. Our Twitter is
R&T Cinematic.
And our letterbox is Cine Adventure or Cine Adventure, however you want to pronounce it, but it's C-I-N-E Adventure. So check us out in those places. Go on your favorite podcast app, listen to our podcast, rate us.
Please give us a like.
Subscribe, all of that. Give us some good reviews. That's how we're going to move up in the standings on these things and how we get more
recommendations
people.
Of other movies.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you have an idea of some movies you want to hear us talk about, then by all means, suggest them in the comments. send us an email.
What's another good B movie? What's another good B movie we should do?
Yeah.
You'd love.
Yeah. But yeah, other than the comments, you can also send us an email at robandtonycinematicadventure@gmail.com. Again, it's all spelled out. There's no ampersand in there. But yeah, so we want to hear from you. We want to be able to bring you the podcast that you want to listen to. So we want to be able to have some great movie discussions that can go straight to your ears.
Exactly. I think, you know, we like to try to have a range of movies, different tastes.
Yeah.
And we want to be able to, you know, kind of hit what different people like. As you say, like, you just did, you know, we're doing Tremors and we're about to do Rocky, kind of very different movies, but also movies that I think, you know, they both kind of feel like, it's kind of a weird way to say it, like dad movies or Saturday afternoon movies, right? You know?
Yep.
So.
So, yeah, we will.
We want to hear from you.
Yeah, so don't be a stranger. And the only thing with the email, please don't send us spam. We don't want please that. But you are welcome to send us just about any other kind of email that you
almost
want.
Almost anything else.
Yeah, almost anything else. No spam, nothing that is going to.
We don't want your OnlyFans.
Yeah, we don't want anything disturbing. We don't want your dick pics. But
Tim, that includes you.
So anyway, so yeah, join us next week when we talk about Rocky. We will see you then.
Night.